a lot of the stuff going on right here in this room, and we started looking back at records and things, and some of you were here in 1975 when, in December, they had the dedication service. Dr. Bob Jones III from Bob Jones University came and preached that dedication message, and since then, 45 years, over 2,300 Sundays, this auditorium has preaching in it from the Bible, and souls saved, and baptismal water stirred. Just a lot has happened as Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church has moved on since the building of this auditorium. And now we stand here at another little threshold. We're starting the remodel of this, and we'll call it the Last of the Auditorium. And we've got a lot of things that are going to happen in the future. But I want to assure you that things will stay the same as well. Preaching from the King James Bible and singing traditional hymns and music that will honor God and lift up Christ. And we're so excited about what is going on. And Brother Daniel's going to tell you a little bit about how we'll look over the next weeks and months here at Buffalo Ridge, as some changes will happen while they're remodeling the auditorium. So I'm going to let him tell you about that.
Well, we are really excited about the time that we're in as a church family. And so, as Pastor said, we just want to give you a little bit of a taste of what's going on and what to expect. And one of the biggest changes that we're going to have in the coming weeks is we're not going to be having church right here in this auditorium. We're going to move from here over to the Family Life Center, the gymnasium. And that being said, tomorrow morning, we're going to get started with that. We're going to be taking these pews, and we have 85 pews here in the auditorium. And about 40 of them are going to make their way over to the gym tomorrow, and the construction crew are going to help us with that. And we're going to be taking some things down. In the last few weeks, you've probably noticed some things maybe disappearing. The books out of the bookstore and some different things have been already begun to be moved as we try to get things ready. As the pews get removed and all the lights are taken down, and we can begin to take the things out so that the work can be done. And so our services will be over there, and we'll have a great time meeting over there in the gym, as we'll have seating prepared for you. And we're looking forward to it. And it's going to be a great time as a church family, us getting to do these things and to go through this together. And as Pastor said, we're just taking a moment now. We think back to the 45 years that this auditorium has stood, by and large, much like this, apart from a couple different things along the way, and we're going to enter into this renovation time. And so what we're going to do for the remainder of the service is we're actually looking back, and as we honor Preacher Lastly and all that he has done, and we're going to take a look back and have a service from the past. We're going to listen to a message that Preacher Lastly preached in the time frame of the transition from him to Brother Jody, and we're going to have a great time in listening to this message. We want to encourage you to pray as we enter into this project. Pray that God's protection would be on our church from the many standpoints that we often do, but as the construction workers come in, pray for them. Pray that as they're here in the property and in God's house on a daily basis, that we'd have opportunity to be a testimony to them as they're making this beautiful for our Lord. And pray that the Lord would guide us through all of this as we do this together as a church family. But for the rest of the service, we want you to just tune in and listen as we listen to this message from Preacher Lastly from several years ago.
I'm all now. Yes, in business. Well, I've often said that a preacher has to be ready to pray, preach, or die. And Brother Jody asked me to take a prayer meeting yesterday morning, men's prayer meeting. He said, I might want you for Sunday morning. I said, well, call me before 7 o'clock last night, because that's when Tennessee's football game comes on. Not that I didn't want to be disturbed in the football game, but I never did watch a football game the night before I got up to preach. I get so worked up that I backslide about as much as some of you that saw the game last night. And I tried to find the game on my television set and could not find it. So I went to bed early and got up this morning. 7 o'clock I was up here. Becky called and said Jody had a bad night and wanted me to preach today. So I'll do my best preaching and trust the Lord. I wanted to, when he asked me to preach. I thought about preaching on the rapture, the church. And then I arrived at what I believe this is what the Lord wants me to preach on today. I'll give you just a few moments. Let us turn, first of all, a couple of passages of scripture. Second, let's see, go to Psalms first. Psalms 136. Psalm 130. They're Psalms, but it's a Psalm. Psalm 136. One. I'll wait till you get there. Page 665 in your old Scofield Reference Bible, King James Version. I like to say that. I'll wait till you get there because it's one verse I want to read. And then we'll go to 2 Corinthians next. Psalm 136, 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Give thanks because God's a good God. I'm glad of that. Good all the time. When things are going well, when things not going still good. And I'm glad his mercy. He's a mercy. I'm not merciful all the time. You're not either. But God's mercy endures forever. Aren't you glad of that? Then turn over to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 15. 2 Corinthians, page 1237. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Now, while the rest of you look for it, I'm going to go ahead and read it here. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you for this privilege one more time this side of eternity of standing and preaching the Word of God. Lord, what a privilege. It's been mine down through the years to handle the Word of life and exalt the God of the Word and the Word of God and the Son of God, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to be a blessing this morning. I want to exalt your name. And may you be lifted up. May the Holy Spirit give me power to lift up the name of Jesus. And may we see him today and be thankful. We who are saved is what for what he's done for us. Now help. If somebody here not saved today, somebody needs a new touch from God, whatever the need is, meet needs. Encourage our hearts and the things of God. Get glory to your name. And we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Now, the Lord laid some thoughts on my heart about 20 years ago on reasons I have to be thankful. And I wrote them down, and it seems like when I saw this, the Lord impressed me to preach this morning. And every time I come to this pulpit, or any pulpit, I try to have a Bible message. I remember one time I preached on 1 Peter 3:1, where Peter said, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. I had to beg my wife to let me go home with her after that message. But finally, she relented. But anyway, you see, you get in trouble preaching on the word sometimes, or it's true or not. Well, anyway, while I was your pastor, I preached through many books of the Bible, through the books of Genesis, Ruth, Nehemiah, Daniel five times, and Jonah, Malachi, Mark, Matthew, John, Acts two times, and 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, 1 and 2 Timothy, I mean, just on and on, I go Jude, Revelation five times. And I believe a preacher is called to preach God's word. But however, this morning, my message is in the form of a testimony. And I want to stand here and praise the Lord and give you some reasons I'm thankful. Now, you've heard my testimony before many times. But I want you to know that I'm not a professional preacher because I love the Lord and I want to please him, do whatever he wants me to do. And this is what I believe the Lord would have me to preach on this morning, some reasons I'm thankful. Let me repeat the text I read to you. You don't have to turn to them. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Psalm again 136:1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. This is so wonderful. For he is good. God is, I know some of you are going through terrible problems, but he's still a good God. He's still a good God. And his mercy, I'm thankful for his mercy, endureth forever. Then Psalm 22:3 says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. The Lord sort of, when we start praising the Lord, you know, the Lord draws nigh. And he sort of eavesdrops in on us when we get to praising him. If you want to feel the presence of the Lord, just start praising the Lord. And then Psalm 150, verse 6 says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Then a verse that's been a special interest to me. The Lord used this in my life. Some of you know about it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything. That's all. This is not always easy, but it's right. It's right. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, what's going on in your life right now? If you will just say, Lord, I don't understand, but you say to give thanks and say, Lord, I praise you for what's going on in my life right now, and he'll help you. He'll help you with it. And this morning, I feel like the Lord wants me to stand here and tell you why I'm thankful. And I have seven reasons I'm thankful. And I'll try to get through before supper tonight. But, I want to give you these seven reasons, but not a one of them is because of what I have done. I want you to understand. We used to sing, I guess they're still singing around now. You sing, stop and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. You sing that around. Stop and let you tell what the Lord, he's what saved my soul and made me whole. Stop and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. So I'm going to tell you this morning what the Lord has done for me. And these blessings that I'm going to thank the Lord for come from his hand. Not because of me, because of him. And I want to give him the glory for them. And it's not what I've done. It is what the Lord has done for this. I'm a pure preacher, but I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. That's what any Christian is, just a sinner saved by the grace of God. Now, number one, this is not an importance, just I'm going to give you these reasons. First, I want to thank God that I was born in America. We ought to stop. You ought to stop right now and just thank God for about 5 minutes, praise the Lord, that you are born in America. Now, there's many things wrong with our country today, but I've been around the world, and some of you have been in other places. I've been in many countries. And listen, folks, regardless of what these liberals are saying in our universities across America and in our liberal churches, listen, America's the greatest thing still, with all its faults, and on the face of the earth. There's not another nation even close second to America. And I thank God. Now, I had absolutely no choice in the matter to be born in America. It was a sovereign grace of God the Lord God of heaven permitted me and permitted you too, if you had the privilege of being born in America, where I had a chance to hear the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Now, around the world, millions haven't heard that story. And as you know, I was raised down in Soddy, Tennessee, born and raised in Soddy, Tennessee, 18 miles north of Chattanooga. And for 18 years, I was around some of the greatest Christians who ever lived. They were born again, and they knew God's power, and they walked with God. It's good to get around people like that. You know that? And now there's not many down there now like that, and there's not many anywhere like that now. But I didn't choose to be born in America, and you didn't either. You didn't either. And I could have been born in a land where I lived and died in spiritual darkness and never heard of Jesus. Or been born in Buddhism or Muhammad or in behind the purple curtain of Roman Catholicism and never heard a true gospel story, how Jesus loved me and died for me. So I thank God this morning. I'll stop right there. That's enough right there. And we all, every one of us, ought to praise the Lord that we're born in America. That was a sovereign blessing from the hand of our God. Then also, secondly, I want to thank God that I was born in a Christian home. I'm thankful for that. Now, I could have been born in a home that was worldly are concerned only about making money or having a good time or and our other reasons or, and had unconcerned about God are not concerned about eternity. I'm glad I was born in a Christian home, and how grateful I am for the good parents he gave me. I'm here to this morning because God gave, born in America, and because he gave me good parents, raised around the old time religion. My parents only had six, as you told you many times, sixth and seventh grade education. Dad went under the Saudi Mountain every day, back in those tunnels under Saudi Mountain, mining coal, to eke out a living so he could clothe six of his children. My mom and dad got saved after Dad came back from World War I, got saved in the 1920s in a tent revival before I was ever born. And they got saved, but they didn't really get right with God and on fire for the Lord until I was about 9 or 10. And they raised, my parents raised their first three children, not on saved, but not on fire for God, not really living close to God. And the first three children made a profession, but never did enter a spiritual life. And then us three children, the last three, two boys and a girl, my brother and I both captained the football team at Saudi Daisy High, and both of us, God gave them Baptist preachers. And my daughter, my sister, she called me the other day, and she told me that she had joined an independent Baptist church down in Mississippi. So you can see what an influence being around godly parents with the right kind of standards. I never saw my mama in a pair of shorts, never saw my mama in a pair of pants, never saw my mama in a bathing suit, and never saw her smoke a cigarette or ever say a bad word. I thank God for, and never saw my mama drink a cocktail. Hey, we couldn't even afford to drink a Pepsi Cola, much less a cocktail. And my mama, sixth grade education, I believe my mama's sixth, my dad's seventh, and she listened to the preachers, and she got a pretty good understanding of prophecy from listening to the right preachers. And Dr. J. Harold Smith, Lee Robson, Dr. Charles Fuller. She listened to Dr. J. Harold Smith when the RSV came out. I've told you many times about that. I surrendered to preach down in Mississippi and got me a Revised Standard Version. Preached the first old King James Lashley. Got a Revised Standard Version. Preached the first few sermons at it. Then I went home. And my mama had been listening to the right preachers. And I showed her my RSV. And she said, "Gene, that's a bad Bible. Thank God." She told me that put out by the Liberal Apostate National Council of Churches. And 30 of the 95 translators had a communist front record. And I got sort of disturbed at my mama, me a big college boy, getting on me like that. But the Holy Spirit got through to me that she was right. And I went back to my King James Version and been at it ever since. So I thank God for, and my daddy, never saw my daddy smoke. Now you can go to, you can go to heaven and smoke. I'm not saying you can't. You might get there a little quicker if you do though, but I never saw my daddy smoke or drink or heard him curse. He'd go fox hunting on, I've told you, this is all I'm telling, I'm just telling you again, some of you heard all this before. But you're going to hear it again this morning because this is why I'm thankful. My daddy, he'd go out fox hunting maybe on Saturday night. He'd look at his watch and say, "Boys, it's 12 o'clock. That means in just another minute or two, it's going to be Sunday." He said, "I got to go home." He wouldn't hunt on the Lord's Day. I thank God for that. And my parents had strong standards, and also they enforced them. My dad says, As long as you stick your feet under my table, you're going to do as I say. And I like to eat too well, so I did what he said. And they wouldn't let me dance or smoke, curse, play pool, or go to the Hollywood movies, and play ball, or swim, or hunt, or fish on Sunday. And I didn't understand then. I thought they were pretty strict. But I thank God now. I knew my parents loved me, and they meant they lived the Christian life in front of me. And that helped me to understand. And I didn't fully understand, but I thank God now that my parents had some standards. Young people, if you have godly parents with high standards, you ought to get down on your face and thank God this morning. Now later on, I'll guarantee you later on, you'll be glad you did, that you had parents that lived for the Lord and had standards. And my dad would come in from the mines, and and eat supper and take the old Bible out. And on the front porch, looking toward, be toward the west there in Saudi, toward the mountains. And he'd read that old Bible, King James. Nobody else had anything but King James back then. That's for this Bible, multiplicity of Bibles came out. And versions, you know how I call them. But he'd look up from that Bible every now and then, and he'd start singing songs, "Thou my everlasting portion, more than strength or life to me. All along life's pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee." I'd hear him sing some of those. That had a great influence on me. And listen, my dad has been in glory this morning for 58 years. Now, my mother lived almost to 96, and she's over to been over, 6 or 7 or 8 years, something like that. But I thank God for the Christian parents that he gave me. And what a blessing it is for a child. Very few children have godly parents in the homes. Children, if you have godly parents, thank God today for it. Then a third thing, that's more than I'm thankful for. I better put my watch in front of me here. It doesn't mean anything because I'm going to preach them through, but let me know where I am anyway. And by the way, I want to give the Lord thanks for all these things. He's blessed me in these areas. And I thank God he saved me. As a 13-year-old boy, he saved me. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," the secret to the Christian life is first of all getting in Christ and getting the new birth. Oh, and when you get in Christ and get born again, old things have passed away, and I'll guarantee you all things become new. And I grew up around people who believed in the old-time religion and believed you must be born. They call it born again. I sort of like that term anyway. But I was around people like that, but I needed to get saved myself. And I'm glad I didn't grow up around modernists and compromisers. I'm glad I'm born around the old time religion and went to a revival. I won't spend a lot of time on this. You heard me tell it many times, but I'm glad I went with the Boy Scout troop and I sat on that side of the church. The evangelists, they were having a great revival in Oak Street Baptist Church in Saudi, Tennessee. And I was attended the Methodist Church. But I went with the Boy Scout troop, the Lord. But I did not go to get saved. I wasn't even thinking about getting saved. But I got there that night, and the Lord was there. It's good when the Lord shows up. I like to be around when the Lord shows up. There's a big difference. And during the invitation, the preacher said, the pastor had to preach. The evangelist couldn't be there. I think he's pastor of another church. You know? And so he said, if you've been praying for somebody, go stand by them. Now, I don't ever practice this, but about 6 or 8 come over on the side where I was. And they didn't say a word to me. They stood there praying with tears coming down their eyes. You know, you can't do much with tears, can you? When you get broken over people trying to get them saved. And my mother's sitting over here, and finally my mother got up and started coming over, and I knew I had to go. And I went down, got in the altar there, and the old deacon put his arm around me and said, "Gene, will you trust Christ?" And I'm glad 66 years ago that I said yes to Christ. Brother Bill, that made all the difference. Oh, what if I'd have said no to Jesus Christ, maybe like some of you are doing this morning? Worst thing you could ever do is say no to Jesus Christ. The town drunk, as you know, got saved on the other side of the mourner's bench and shouted all over the church. Now, I went to church where you could cough once, but you couldn't cough twice hardly. I hadn't seen any of that. But he shouted, but they stood us up in front. All I could say is the Lord saved me. That's all I could say. And he testified and praised God. And we both left out of there, walked out of there, and became Baptist preachers. I'm glad. I went home and Mama woke Daddy up and told him that Gene got saved. And I went in the back room and lay down on the bed, looked out the window. It is a beautiful summer night, and the moon seemed like covered the whole sky. And you know what thought came to my heart? Wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus come back tonight? So the Lord made me a premillennialist right from the time I got saved. Well, let's see. Let me hurry on here. Let's see what else I've got But I thank God, as he say, that he saved me. He's now, He called me to himself. I didn't go there to get saved. You say, Gene, are you a Calvinist? No, but I believe in the sovereignty of God. God knows what to do. And he called me to himself. I didn't go there to get saved. I'm glad that the first time that I was ever confronted with the gospel. Now, I heard about it, but that night I believe the Lord spoke to me the first time, and I got saved. If the Lord's speaking to you tonight, this morning, you ought to get saved before you leave here and get right with God. Now, let's move on. Then, a fourth thing, I've still got 14 minutes, so I'm trying to let you out at 12, between somewhere from 12 and 12:30. But I thank God for the Bible, the King James Version. I thank God for that book. And I love this old book. And the psalmist said in Psalm 119:97, "Oh, how love I thy law." And then the psalmist said in Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." This word will guide you as you go down through life if you live it and try to, if you read it and try to live by its pages. It'll be a light unto your feet, and it'll be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. And I've told you many times, and I'm going to tell it again because I want to challenge you to do this. When I was in the youth at Methodist Church in Saudi, Tennessee, Miss Lovelady challenged her young people's class to read the Bible through in 1 year, 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sunday. And I started doing that when I was either 15 or 16. I think it's 15. And I've been reading the Bible through every year since then. You say, that's a whole lot. No. If you give up a 30-minute television program, you can read the Bible through every year. Read 3 chapters a day and 5. Now, sometimes you might want to meditate and the Lord speak to you, and it takes a little time. But you usually you can do it in less than 30 minutes. But I was here 46 years as pastor of this church. And I've had the blessed privilege of coming up here after we moved up here, of coming up here early in the morning and reading the Bible through every year since I was your pastor. What a great privilege. Now, I'm not bragging. I'm just challenging you to get in the book every day. Every day. That book will change your life. It'll help you. John 5:39 says, "Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me." Do you want to know more about Jesus and be a better Christian? Is that what you want to do? You ought to if you're saved. Then every day, the rest of your life, every day, read these blessed pages. And you get, because if you're, listen, Jesus is the living word, and right here is the written word of God. And so the breath of God is on the pages of that book. So you will be a spiritual, listen to me now, I don't have time to dwell on this. You'll be a spiritual pauper the rest of your days on this earth unless you get in the Word of God every day. Somebody say amen there. Now, I'm hurrying, but listen, you know why God gave you these eyes? He didn't give you these eyes to spend 3 or 4 or 5 hours on the television. He gave you these eyes to read His Word. That's why God gave you your eyes. And you ought to spend time every day reading the Word of God. Then another thing I'm thankful for. I'm thankful God gave me a good wife and 3 precious children and then 5 sweet grandchildren. I thank God for that. And I'll never forget the first time I met Ellen Hetty Ebersole. Are you hiding behind him? I didn't see you there back there. Now, where was I before my wife interrupted me there? But anyway, I went up to Illinois. First time I met her, I went up to Illinois to work in Youth for Christ. And about a month after I arrived in Illinois, I was asked to speak in the Sterling, Illinois Mennonite Church. And they were going, they had moved to a, for their, my Bible school, they got the auditorium tore up. They moved to a school building there. And I went in and preached in that Mennonite church. And, honey, look at me now. There she was, sitting right there. And in that church, the Lord brought her across my pathway. And her brother was just got out of the service, and he sat on the front row, and I didn't know it was her brother till after, and he amened everything I said that morning. And to make a long story short, I've told you before, after much persuasion, Ellen proposed to me. And after much arm twisting, I finally accepted. She tells me, I've said that so much, I'm beginning to believe it. But as I've said before, I was sitting right here one time, Dr. Lakin said, most preachers are ruined the day they get married. He looked at me and said, son, it made you. And that he's correct. And you folks know my wife well. She's been a great help to me in the ministry. She's lived right. And has been a good mother to our three children. And loves those five grandchildren. Don't we all love those grandchildren? But anyway, Ellen and I love our children and grandchildren. You know what we want more than anything else? I want my children to get saved and grandchildren and live for Jesus. And you know, I want us to be together in heaven when life shall be no more. Oh, what if your children miss heaven? They miss everything. So parents, encourage your children to get saved and live for the Lord. And you tell them you want to meet them in heaven. Praise the Lord. And be together for all eternity. Then, let's see, let me give you another reason. I've got still a little more time. That I thank God that he called me to preach. And here's, I believe in a God-called preacher, ministry. God calls people. If God calls them, they'll keep going for God. Man calls them, mama calls them, the denomination calls them, they'll fall by the wayside. I'm glad that my third grade teacher at one time, and you've heard all this before, but I'm what the Lord wants me to say again this morning. My third grade teacher was, and later on after the third grade, was talking to my mother in the kitchen one time. And I sneaked up. Now, you've never done anything like this. I know you would. And I wanted to hear what they were saying. Now, you girls never done anything like that, have you? And but that teacher said, I believe Gene's going to be a minister. Well, don't claim to be a minister, but I'm a preacher. But my dear mama, sixth grade education, said to this teacher, said, I'd rather Gene to be a preacher than to be president of the United States. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then an old Methodist lady used to come down the road shouting on the way to church. You can't even get Methodists to shout in church, neither can Baptists shout anymore. They've all lost their shout. But anyway, she one time, when I was in high school, she said, I think Gene's going to be a preacher, told my mother that. Well, the Lord started stirring my soul at a Methodist youth camp right outside of Rockwood, Tennessee, between my junior and senior years in high school. And from that moment, I couldn't get away from the divine urge in my bosom to be a preacher. Now, I was shy and bashful, and I fought the call to preach for 4 long years. And I just didn't know how I could do it. I just didn't know how I could ever get up in front of a crowd like this and preach. Until finally, during my junior year, Southern Mississippi, we'd played in the Sun Bowl out in El Paso, Texas. We were going through spring practice, right in the middle of spring practice, sometime in, I guess, February, March, somewhere along there. And at midnight, in the athletic dorm, the Lord woke me up. And I believe maybe this might have been the last time God moved on my heart to be a preacher. I'd put it off for 4 years. But that night, I knew I had to make a decision what I was going to do. And as you know, I've told you many times, I got up and went out on the college golf course and got down on one of the greens at midnight and said, Lord, the best I know how, you've called me to preach. And if I make the worst flop that ever got behind a pulpit, I'm going to preach. And I couldn't get up from the crowd till I surrendered and the Lord started helping me. And if you'll surrender yourself to the Lord, he'll start helping you serve him. I can't teach. I can't do this. You can if the Lord helps you. Just surrender yourself to the Lord. And then, let me move on. Then I thank God for the privilege of pastoring this great church for 46 years. You've been good to me and my family. I love you and thank God for you. Now, thank God that he's given you a good pastor, Brother Jody. Pray for him. He's sick. He's a great young man, great preacher. And if the Lord had shown me that I'd, listen, if the Lord, when I surrendered to preach, if the Lord had showed me I'd have to be preaching in the crowd. And this is a big crowd here today, folks. But if he'd have showed me that when I first started thinking about preaching, I'd still have been running probably. And I just couldn't get up in front of a crowd. I didn't mind getting on a football field and playing. I just couldn't get up in front of a crowd to speak. But if the Lord, you folks have been good to me. And I have made a lot of mistakes while I was here. But you put up with my mistakes and love me and help me. And I thank God for you. And you all do the same thing with Brother Jody. He's going to make mistakes. He's a fine young man, one of America's greatest young preachers. And get behind him and love him and back him and support him and encourage him. And take jobs when he asks you to take them. If the Lord lets the devil may get you not to take something, he'd ask you, take the job unless you feel like the Lord doesn't want you to do it. But I can't understand why the Lord allowed me the privilege of pastoring this church for 46 years. But all I can say is thank you, Lord. He's been good to me. I'm glad that God called me to be a sin-killing, devil-disturbing, Christ-exalting, soul-winning, fundamental Baptist preacher more than anything else in this world. I'm glad of that. And I can say with the Apostle Paul, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Let me give you one more. One more and well, it's getting close, but don't look at your watch. I'm just about through, I'll promise you. Now, when a preacher says it, you can't always believe it, but I'm headed to the finish line. And so you just hang with me just as... But when I got saved, the Lord gave me a hope down in my heart, down in my soul of heaven someday when life shall be no more. And, you know, he gave me... Every born-again person has that hope in their soul. And I've had that in my soul for 66 years. I've been a Christian. Been preaching 58. Isn't that good? I hear my preaching up here. Just been out of the, I've been out of the hospital just less than 7 weeks on that new knee. But I'd forgot all about it this morning. If I start thinking about it, it'll bother me. So I'm going to get off of it. And where was I? Yeah, but 7 weeks ago in the morning, they put me to sleep and take to... have a knee replacement on my left knee, or I had one on the right. Now, before that, I thought, well, it might be my time to cross over the river, and I got to looking about what God has to say about it. Our times are in His hands. Not my hands or the doctor's, but in His hands. And our steps are ordered by the Lord. And He sees every step we take. So the Lord showed me all that, I just had great peace. I wasn't going to leave here till the Lord got ready to take me. And I want to go to heaven someday like you. I don't want to get on necessarily the next load, but I want to go to heaven someday. They put me to sleep. The Lord gave me peace. It's good to have the peace of God, isn't it? Oh, sweet peace. Sweet peace. As you face surgery, putting to sleep, you don't know where you're going to wake up or not. You don't know where you wake up in the morning when you go to bed. But they listen to this, and I'll move on. But I went through the surgery. They put me to sleep, brought me back, and I woke up in the recovery room. Now, this area about off from here to the door there, and not much wider than this platform here. And I was in there on a bed myself, and they had these curtains around me. It was open on that end. Nobody's in there. And I thought, well, here I'm awake. I've been through surgery, and there's not a pain in my body. I raised my hand toward heaven and thank God for His grace and His goodness. God's good to His children. And for 66 years, I've had the hope and wanted to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven because I want to see Jesus, don't you? I want to see Jesus. And when I get to heaven, I'll see Moses and Joshua and Elijah. You've got to go to heaven and see that crowd. John the Baptist, Paul, Peter, Charles, and John Wesley, Spurgeon, Moody, Sunday. I'll see old Brother Page when I get to heaven. He's up there. I bet you they can't keep him quiet on the streets of gold. I bet you the Lord has sent an angel to quieten him down a little bit. Heaven. He'll be shouting so much over there. But we'll see, Brother, and I'll see my grandma and grandpa Lashley and Uncle Will and Uncle Jim. And certainly I want to see Daddy and Mama when I get to heaven. But first of all, I don't want to see the streets of gold and the walls of jasper and the saints of God and the many friends I'll be have waiting over there. But first of all, I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus, the one who loved me and died for me and saved me when I was a 13-year-old boy. And it's like the book says, Jesus led me all the way. And he has. And he's led me even when I made mistakes. The Lord, just like your children, you're going to stand with them whether they make a mistake or not. No, sure you are. If you're worth your salt, you're going to stand by your children. And the Lord has blessed me in spite of my mistakes, been with me down through these years. And first of all, I want to see Jesus when I get to heaven and thank him for saving me by his grace. When life's work is ended and across the swelling tide, when the grand and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know him. I shall know him. And redeemed by his side, I shall stand. I shall know him. I shall know him by the prints of the nails in his hand. Let's bow our heads. Close your eyes for a word of prayer. I'm not going to heaven because I'm good. No, I'm not. But I'm going to heaven because I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. I mean, a preacher's got to get saved. Preacher go to hell if he's never been born again. If he doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not going to heaven because I'm a church member. Oh, no. I'm going to heaven because I was saved. I trusted Christ as a 13-year-old boy many years ago. And I don't know a lot of you this morning, but I know the Lord knows all about you, and he loves you. And he wants, if you don't have that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine, if he wants to save you, if you'll just come to him. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if you will come today like I did as a 13-year-old boy, come to this front and just ask the Lord to save you. You'll walk out these doors, child of God today. He's promised he would. Maybe you're a Christian living far from God, don't have the blessing of God in your life. You say, preacher, I'd like to walk with God and know the blessing and presence of God. Just come on. If you've been saved, just turn it all over to Jesus. Turn it all over to him. And put him first in your life, and he'll shower you with his blessing. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many can say, preacher, lastly, I'm glad that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved this morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed, hold your hand. Wave your hand a little bit. That's good. Isn't that a wonderful crowd, Brother Gary? Amen. Now maybe, put your hands down. Maybe some of you here this morning, you'd say, preacher, lastly, I don't know that I'm saved. But down deep, I don't want to miss heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be lost. The Lord doesn't want you to either. These good people in the church that have been saved don't want you to go to hell. You say, preacher, lastly, I'd like to be saved this morning. I'd like to be saved. Or before I die, I'd like to be saved. Or maybe you are a Christian. You say, preacher, I'm far from God. I'm not going to have the power of God in my life. I'm not an effective Christian, but I'd like to be out and out for Jesus Christ, walking with God, getting my prayers through, living a victorious Christian life. Whatever your need is, if you've never been saved, or if you're a Christian that needs a new touch from God this morning, let me pray for you. Just slip your hand right up right now. And I'll remember you to close the word. Hold your hand up high. Oh, yes, God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Well, this preacher, pray for me. God's spoken to my heart. In the balcony, anywhere in the balcony. Preacher, I've never been saved or have been saved, but God, I need to do business with God this morning. Just slip your hand up right now. Let me pray for you. Slip it up high. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this privilege of coming here and, Lord, giving these reasons. I'm thankful this morning and pray you'd bless our pastor, God, Brother Jody, touch his body. Now touch these folks that are here today, somebody here not saved, somebody that as saved, but Lord, living afar off, may they come to this altar and be saved or rededicate themselves to the Lord before they leave here. Have your way, Lord. Holy Spirit, draw men and women, boys and girls down this aisle. When the invitation's given, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, brother?
306. Have that on.
Let's stand and sing 306. Brother Jack, would you stand right here in front, please? Brother Jack Mosier, one of the deacons, will be standing here. And if you need to be saved, or if you want to rededicate your life, God's speaking to you, just come and tell Brother Jack, and some lady or some man will pray with you. Come on, if the Lord's speaking to you, come on.
Way, Lord, slip out, have come down now. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Play through softly again, please. Say, preacher, there's a hunger in my heart for God this morning. I need to do business with the Lord. You've turned to everything else. Won't you turn to the Lord this morning? He'll save you, or he'll restore you. Come right down as we... Then I want to do... Keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. I'd like for every teacher and every bus captain in this church to get behind your pastor. Every teacher ought to dedicate yourself to helping your pastor. Going out, visiting your class members. Every week you ought to be out, listen, providentially hindered, visiting teachers. And bus captains, unless you're providentially hindered, you ought to be out knocking on doors along that bus route, trying to get people in, get them under the sound of the gospel. You know that's what you ought to do. And Brother Jody is home sick right now. He may be listening into this service. But he's a fine young preacher, one of the finest young preachers in America. He needs your help. And I'm going to ask every Sunday school teacher who's willing to go out and out for Jesus Christ, and every bus captain who's willing to go out and out for Jesus Christ, you'll visit every week unless providentially hindered, and try to reach people for the Lord and help Brother Jody to have them. This church can have a great ministry in the future, but it's going to take your help and God's help. Every teacher, every bus captain, you'll say, preacher, I want God to use me on my bus route. I want him to use me in my class. And you'll visit unless providentially hindered. I want you to come and kneel on this altar. You're every teacher, every bus captain. Come right in as we play right now. A new day will dawn in your Sunday school class if you go visiting every week. And then your bus route, business will pick up. If you would just get on your knees and say, Lord, would you bless my bus route or bless my class? And go out and visit. Love those people. Pray. Okay. Let's keep our heads bowed and eyes closed. You can, Brother Jack, would you pray for us? Would you pray for us now? And pray for these teachers and bus captain. Yes, Lord, help me. Touch it, Lord. Amen. You may go back to your seats for just a moment. Thank you for letting me be here today and preach in this pulpit. I love you and thank God for you. Do pray for Brother Jody. Let me get back through here before you're dismissed.